Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. We have seen the events of the life and biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to the 10th year after the Mab'ath, after the coming of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have seen that in this year, in the 10th year after the Mab'ath, there were some very sad events that occurred. And the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, he passed away and he died upon disbelief, waliyadu billah. And then it was but 3 days later that his wife and companion Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha, likewise she passed away. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is facing much difficulties from his tribesmen and hardship even more from his people, because now his uncle is not there. His uncle is not there defending him against his people and against his tribe. But before we continue discussing the events on this timeline, we will go back a little bit and discuss the Islam of some of the companions who accepted Islam in these days, meaning in this period before the 10th year. Not sure exactly which year it is, but in this period here, in the Meccan period before this time, approximately, there are some other companions likewise who accepted at Islam. Many of them. And from them we have a man, his name is Dhimad Al-Azdi. Do you know who is Dhimad Al-Azdi radiyallahu anhu? Has anyone heard of the noble companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His name is Dhimad Al-Azdi. He has a beautiful story on how he accepted Islam. And he accepted Islam at the hands of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is a narration that is collected by Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that he mentioned that one time Dhimad, he came from his tribe, the tribe of Azd, and he came to Mecca. He came to Mecca. And Dhimad, in the times of Jahiliyyah, he was somebody who used to give the ruqya. Dhimad, he used to give the ruqya to people, and he would recite the ruqya on them. And it is known that he was very experienced in this, and that Allah had cured many people from his ruqya. That Allah had cured many people from his ruqya. So now he's coming to Mecca. And on his way there, there's all these people coming to him on the roads and discussing the affairs of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're all warning from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time he's getting closer to Mecca, he's meeting people and they're saying, watch out, watch out. If you're going to Mecca, there's a man there. His name is Muhammad, Muhammad Majnoon. Muhammad is crazy. There's a man there. His name is Muhammad. He's crazy. You better watch out. If you go there, don't listen to him. He's meeting all these foolish and ignorant people from Quraysh. And they're all telling him the same thing. Oh, you're going to Mecca. Oh, watch out. There's a man named Muhammad there. Muhammad Majnoon. Muhammad Majnoon. Muhammad is crazy. Muhammad is crazy. You better be careful when you go there. There's a crazy man. His name is Muhammad. Don't listen to him. Saying all these bad things. But Dhimad, whenever he's hearing this, he's thinking to himself, and he says, you know, I've cured a lot of people. I've cured crazy people and sick people, and a lot of people, Allah cured them at my hands and because of my ruqya. So if I meet this guy, Muhammad, I'm going to try to cure him. This is what he's thinking in his head. He's thinking, Muhammad is crazy. He's crazy? Okay, maybe he has a jinn. Maybe something is wrong with him. If I meet this man, I'm gonna recite the Ruqya on him. Maybe Allah will cure him. Okay, this is what he's thinking to himself, radiallahu anhu. He says, لو أني رأيت هذا الرجل لعل الله يشفيه على يدي. He said, if I meet this man, this crazy man, that's what he thinks, then maybe Allah is going to cure him in my hands. Then maybe Allah will cure him in my hands. And this is a sign that the man, he had the belief that Allah, he is the one who cures. And he is aware that the ruqya is only the means. And maybe Allah will cure him at his hands. So Allah, he's the one who cures. And this is something that is known. Allah Azza wa Jal, he alone has the power to cure and to heal and to bring about good and to remove harm. So then he came to Mecca, and then whenever he's there, he met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, inni arqi min hadhihi ar-rih, when Allah yashfi ala yadayya man sha'a, fahalak. He met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he came to him and he said, Oh Muhammad, you know, I give the ruqya for the jinn and these affairs like this, and Allah, he cured many people at my hands. So what do you think? Yani, should I read on you? Yani, meaning that he's coming, basically he's saying, yeah, I heard you're crazy. I heard you're a little bit sick and you're ill like this. Yani, what do you think? I know how to read on you. I can read on you and cure you by the permission of Allah. What do you think? We understand? What would you do? If somebody came to you right now and they're like, you know, I heard you're crazy. I heard you're a little bit loopy. I heard you, maybe you're touched by a jinn. What do you think I recite on you? Huh? We're like, well, I'm not crazy, man. What do you mean crazy? Who told you I'm crazy? Where did you get that from? But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said to him? You know what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him? He didn't say any of these things. He said very calmly and in a very humble manner and direct. He said, إِنَ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ نَسْتَعِينُهُ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمَّا بَعْدُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just said this to him, that's all. He said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, I heard you're crazy. I heard maybe you're touched by the jinn. What do you think I recite the ruqya on you and try to cure you by the permission of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily all praise and thanks is for Allah. We praise Him alone and we seek His aid and help. Whoever Allah guides, then none can lead him astray. And whoever he leads astray, then none can guide him. I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone, with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and messenger. As to what follows. And then he said, أَعِدْ عَلَيَّ كَلِمَاتِكَ هَؤُلَاءِ. He said, repeat that for me one more time. What did you say? Repeat that for me one more time. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it again, the khutbah al-hajah. He said it again three times, and three times in a row, the same khutbah. He told him the same thing. And then after this, Dhimad, he said, man, I heard the statements of the fortune tellers, and I heard the statements of the magicians, and I heard all the statements of the poets, and I never heard nothing like these statements. I never heard nothing like these words right here. He said that these words right here, لَقَدْ بَلَغْنَا نَعُوسَ الْبَحْرِ. He's like, these words right here reach the bottom of the ocean. And these words right here, deep, they reach the depths of the sea. I mean, these are some serious words that you just mentioned right here. And then he said after that, he told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَاتِ يَدَكَ أُبَايَعْكَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. He said, give me your hand. I want to pledge my allegiance to you in Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, okay, you pledge allegiance to me? You and your whole tribe? He said, yes, me and my whole tribe. Yes, me and my whole tribe. And then so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted his Islam and pledged allegiance to him. And he accepted Islam like this. And there are many benefits in this story. And from them is that guidance is in the hands of Allah azza wa jal. And he guides whomever he wills. And we see that Quraysh, his tribesmen and his family members, and those who are living amongst him. They're hearing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite the Quran every day. Day in and day out, he's reciting the Quran to them. He's praying and they're listening to his prayer. Some of them are even sneaking around to listen behind him. What is he reciting? What are those words? They're hearing the words of Allah and they're not even guided. And then here comes Dhimat radiallahu anhu, and he just hears khutbat al-hajjah. That was enough for him. That was enough for him. He just heard the khutbat al-hajjah and the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Iman entered his heart. And he knew that the person who's saying these words, he's not crazy. And the one who's saying words like that, he's not misguided. And the one who's saying their words like this, he's not lying and making stuff up. All praise and thanks is for Allah. We praise him and we seek his help. And the likes like this, this is from the words of Tawheed. And the one who understands them, he will see that this is the truth. So guidance is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he guides whom he wills. And he guides whom he wills. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah, he guides whom he wants to the straight path. Allah, he guides whom he wants to the straight path. Dhimad al-Azdi. He's the one who accepted Islam, thinking that he's going to cure Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but who got cured? Who got cured? He got cured. Huh? But he's coming with a good intention. And he's thinking he's doing something good. And the likes like this. And then in reality, good, it came to him. Alhamdulillah. And he became from the companions of the messenger. And likewise, his whole tribe accepted Islam and followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Dhimad al-Azdi. Dhimad. Al-Azdi radiallahu anhu. Also, there was another companion who accepted Islam in this era, yani around the 5th, 6th, 7th year, and this time about the 6th year approximately. His name is Al-Tufayl ibn Amr Ad-Dawsi. Al-Tufayl ibn Amr Ad-Dawsi. He's from the tribe of Ad-Daws. And the tribe of Ad-Daws, this is a tribe that's in Yemen, or from the area of Yemen. And it's mentioned about him, some issues. He has a narration that's in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it is very brief and mentions part of his story. And there are some details mentioned about his Islam, but they are not completely authenticated and established with an authentic chain. But the people of knowledge, they mention them. They mention this narration in their books. And it is in the books of Sirah and in his biography and Sirah Alama Nubala by Al-Dhahabi, and also mentioned by Ibn Kathir and other than that. So the details that we mention, wallahu a'lam if they're authentic. But we will talk about him briefly, insha'Allahu ta'ala. Tufayl radiallahu anhu, he's coming to Mecca. He's coming to Mecca. And his story is similar like Dhimat. And he's coming and the people are telling him, watch out, there's a man named Muhammad and he is splitting the people. He's a magician. He has magic with him and he's splitting the people because they have this type of magic that somebody will put the magic on a person, a'udhu billah, and he'll cause them to split and dislike another person. Not because he doesn't like him, but because magic is on him and it'll make the loved ones hate each other because they put magic on them. Wali'adhu billah. So they're trying to say that it's like this because one would accept Islam and then he would turn away from the way of his people. And then if he accepted Islam, likewise his people would not like him no more. So they're trying to say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a magician like this, a sahir, because whoever follows him, then his people don't like him no more, and he doesn't follow his people no more, and the likes like this. So they're like saying, we're gonna give you some sincere advice, Tufayl. If you come over here, you better not ever listen to anything that man Muhammad says, because if so, he's going to corrupt you. It's gonna be terrible. He's really causing corruption in our neighborhoods and in our tribes, and people they don't like each other no more, and he's splitting the mothers and the sisters and the brothers and the fathers, and he's splitting the tribes up, and he's causing much trouble. Everybody who listens to him, he goes crazy and he does these bad things. So don't, whatever you do, if you're gonna come to Mecca, don't listen to anything Muhammad has to say. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. it's mentioned about him. He was so scared. They said this to him so much. He was like afraid. He's like, man, I don't want to see. Oh, man, I hope I don't run into that guy. That man, I don't want to hear anything he has to say. It's mentioned that he went to the Kaaba. He's going to make tawaf. He put cotton in his ears because he didn't want to. If he comes in, across Prophet Muhammad, he don't want to hear anything he has to say. He doesn't want to hear anything he has to say. Put cotton in his ears. And then he said that whenever he was there, he came close to the Kaaba to make tawaf, and then he seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he couldn't help it except listen. He said he couldn't help it except listen to the recitation of the Quran. And he said, wait a second, that's the best thing I ever heard. That's the best words. I never heard anything better than that. What are these people talking about? This is amazing. Wow, this is the best speech. Man, what is this? What is he reciting? And like this, and then he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, man, they told me that you're crazy and that if you say words that's going to make harm and so on. But when I heard you talking, this is the most beautiful words I ever heard in my life. He's like, I want to be a Muslim. And he became a Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent him back to his tribe. He said, okay, you go back to your tribe and you call them to al-Islam. And you call them to al-Islam. This is the detailed information that's mentioned in the books of the biography of Tufayl ibn Amr. And Allah knows best about its authenticity. Also, there are some other details that we will not mention. But in any case, no doubt Tufayl, he accepted Islam. Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi, whether it was in this manner or not, Allah knows best. But no doubt the ones who hear the Quran and they listen, they benefit from that whenever they understand its meanings. And it enters their hearts and it settles in their hearts, and they ponder and reflect. They realize that this is from Allah and not from mankind. So therefore, this is the issue here. After this portion here is definitely authentic, and it is in Bukhari and Muslim. And Tufayl radiallahu anhu, he went back to his tribe in Dos and he called them to al-Islam, and they refused to accept Islam. There are some narrations mentioned that his father accepted Islam. Another narration mentioned that Abu Hurairah, also he's from the tribe of Ad-Dawsi, Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr Ad-Dawsi, that he also had accepted Islam in the very beginning whenever Tufayl, he went back there. Allah knows best whenever they accepted Islam. Many of his tribesmen, or the majority of them, did not accept his call. So he called them to Ad-Islam, and they kept on being bad and doing bad things. And they refused to listen to him. So he came back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily I called those to al-Islam, fa'asat wa abat, but they disobeyed and they refused to accept Islam. Make dua against them. I called them to Islam, but they disobeyed me and they refused. So make dua against them. Make dua against them, meaning make dua that Allah would destroy them. So at this time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his hands and he's getting ready to make dua. And even some of the companions are watching this, and they're like, oh, Dawsi is going to be destroyed. Oh no, the tribe of Dawsi is going to be destroyed. Because Tufayl, he's like, make dua against them. They disobeyed and they refused. So Tufayl radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about his tribe. What did they do? They did two things. What is that? They disobeyed and they refused. They disobeyed him and they refused. So now he's like, make dua against them because of these two. They disobeyed and they refused to accept Islam. And if they didn't do the right thing and obey him and follow the good way, and neither did they accept Islam, rather they rejected it and refused. So now he said, make dua against them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his hands. And the people are like, oh no, Dawsi is going to be destroyed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma hdi Dawsan wa'ti bihim. Allahumma hdi Dawsan wa'ti bihim. Oh Allah, guide the tribe of Dawsi and bring them to me. Meaning in Medina as Muslims. Guide them and bring them to me. Whenever they disobeyed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for them to be guided. And whenever they refused, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for them to come in submission as Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he met their disobedience and their refusal and rejection of the truth with dua and supplication for them to be guided and to accept and to come in submission. And this is from the mercy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that he was sent as a mercy to mankind, and that he called the people, and he wanted good for the people. And when even whenever they disobeyed, he will make dua for them and hope that they would accept Islam, and he would bear the harm of the people. And he would bear the harm of the people, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we see from this, in the seventh year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, At-Tufail, Ad-Dawsi radiallahu anhu, he came with Abu Hurairah and others from his tribe, many of them. It's been mentioned around 80 or more of his tribesmen that came to make hijrah in the seventh year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they met up with the Prophet in Khaybar and attended many of the events with him after that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But also we know in his sunnah, we will see inshallah that there are some circumstances whenever he did make dua against the mushrikeen. And that is whenever their harm became severely, severely bad, and they transgressed limits in a great, great manner, harming physically the believers and the likes like this. In circumstances like this, the Prophet, he made dua against them. But whenever it's with regards to some difficulty or hardship and so on and so forth, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would bear these affairs, especially when they're related to him, and he would supplicate for the people and he wanted good for them. So to supplicate for the disbelievers is good, and to ask Allah to guide them and to supplicate against them is allowed, but it's best to ask for their guidance and not for their destruction, except if the harm of the disbelievers becomes very severe and very difficult, and they transgress limits greatly. At this time, the believers, they make supplication against them, and to be safe from their harm and the likes like this. But in general, a believer, he will not make dua against the people. He will not make dua against the people, rather he will make dua for the people. And we will see another example of this, inshallah, whenever the Prophet goes to Al-Ta'if on his journey after the death of Khadija رضي الله عنها. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.